work session for Thursday, June 21st, 2018.
So we'll start getting started right now. I know you guys have a public hearing at 6:30, so I want to conserve some of your time. My name is Matt Herman. I'm a planner with Clark County Community Planning. Tonight I'll be presenting you with the proposal for establishing Prestel as a rural center. This is CPZ 2018-0004. The public hearing for this item is scheduled for July 19th at 6:30. So to begin, I'm going to give you a brief recap on rural centers in Clark County, why they exist. Back in 1997, Clark County Citizens United and others appealed to the growth management hearings board. The hearings board's decision to the Clark County Superior Court regarding the designation of agroforest. The Clark County Superior Court ruled that the removal of rural activity centers was not addressed in the environmental impact statement, and the county needed to provide a variety of rural densities to be compliant with the Growth Management Act, and that could be achieved by designated rural centers as envisioned in the community framework plan. So in 1998, there was a rural task force that was established, and they presented their recommendation to the Clark County Commissioners to designate six rural centers in rural Clark County. Those six rural centers were Amboy, Brush Prairie, Shalash Prairie, Dollars Corner, Hawkinson, and Meadow Glade. Following that, on May 11th, 1999, Growth Management Hearings Board issued a compliance order upholding the creation of those six rural centers. Following that, in 2000, Fogger Lake was established as a rural center. So today we have seven rural centers in Clark County. In 2014, we received a petition to establish Prestel as a rural center. At the time of this petition submission, Clark County was suspending all plan amendments for the development of the 2016 comprehensive plan. The 2016 comprehensive plan was a periodic update, and that was approved by council in June of 2016. 2017, the Clark County Council changed the creation of rural centers from annual reviews to dockets. So 2018 is the first year that we're able to process this application, this petition, as a docket. So that's the reason for the delay, the four-year delay. The establishment of rural centers has several criteria that the county has to consider for rural centers. The Growth Management Act provides these requirements in RCW 3678.070 and gives guidance in the Washington Administrative Code 365-196-425. The criteria includes the preserving of natural neighborhoods that exist, and delineates the extent to which those boundaries are established. Physical boundaries need to be addressed, and that natural character needs to be established for the rural center communities. For Clark County, we have four policies that directly apply to this proposal for rural center designations. The first two of these policies that you see on the screen that are bulleted are the most relevant for the Planning Commission to consider. Our analysis in this proposal are largely focused on the first two, both the area proposed as a rural center had to exist as of July 1st, 1990, which was when the Clark County was had to comply with the Growth Management Act and identifiable by pre-existing small lot development patterns. That's a key phrase that you'll see in our analysis, that pre-existing small lot development patterns. Also, the rural center is, the petition has to be signed by at least 60% of the property owners of the land in which the boundaries for the new rural center are established. So a little history on Prepsil. We have quite a bit of research that was provided to us by the Historic Society, and they've been great at capturing what Prepsil was and what it is today. John Prepsil was the original land claimer for the area. He claimed 640 acres in 1852, and from this point, him and his brothers worked the land. They cleared the land and raised clover, hay, and vines. The original claim land has seen a variety of uses that have come and gone, including a post office from 1902 to 1911, the community hall and general store from 1914, and that general store is the same location that exists today with the convenience store on SR 500. So in order to provide you some context as to where this proposal is located, the map here is shown. You can see to the west here, you have the Vancouver city limits, the Vancouver urban growth boundary. Down here is the city of Camas city limits. So that gives you kind of some context as to where this property resides. So, as you remember, based on those two policies that I noted earlier, that pre-existing small lot development patterns prior to 1990, the map that I am showing here has two different categories, or one category shown that really establishes what pre-existing small lot development was. What we did is we took a look at the assessor's records and found properties that are 2.5 acres or smaller. The reason why 2.5 acres was used as a threshold was because in the rural center, the largest residential zoning district that we have is RC 2.5, meaning residential in rural centers of 2.5 acres or more. So we took those parcels that are 2.5 acres or more and then looked further to find out which ones had structures on them built prior to 1990. This is what you're seeing. So those that are highlighted in red are lots that are 2.5 acres or less and or developed prior to 1990. So you can see a concentration of those lots along Northeast 65th Street here, as well as several here and here. So with that analysis that was conducted, the boundaries of the initial petition would have to be expanded in order to meet that small lot development criteria. This boundary right here, that includes the area to the north along 65th, has an average lot size of 3.59 acres compared to the average lot size of the initial petition, which is 5.1 acres. The boundary here consists of 44 lots compared to the petition that included 22 lots. But in order to proceed with this proposal, We needed to hear from the affected property owners of the expanded boundary and proposed zoning designations to give them proper context of which, how they were affected and whether they support or oppose the process. So we showed them their existing zoning, which is largely R5 residential 5-acre minimums with an airport zoning and a heavy industrial zoning. We proposed zoning with rural center residential 1-acre minimums along 65th to note the smaller development. There's two here as well as two here. The darker yellow, hopefully it's shown on the screen, are proposed as rural center 2.5 acres. Red, rural center commercial, and then we wanted to maintain that airport zoning designation as well as the heavy industrial. So on June 11th, there was an open house held at the Prebstal Church. We had approximately 55 people attending. We heard common themes across the open house regarding traffic concerns, and that had to do with the insufficient transportation infrastructure, intersection and corridor safety issues, as well as the potential for additional lots that exacerbate those existing problems. So we reached out to the property owners for the expanded area to get a sense of if they are supportive of this rural center designation or if they are not. Since that open house, we had one original petition signature. The airport owner withdraw their name from the initial petition and switch their support to opposition for the Prebstal Rural Center. The additional lots here were supportive. They're shown in blue. And then one property owner telling us that they are opposed to it. The rest of the property owners that are not highlighted, we did not receive a response from. So with that, we have the end result of not meeting that 60% threshold for the expanded rural area. We have 59% of the property owners either opposed to it or not responsive, and then only 41% meeting that criteria. So with that said, we're unable to process the Prebstal Rural Center with the expanded area. It will be presented based on the initial petition, which has that average lot size of 5.1 acres for those property owners. The public process that we're following is like all other docket and annual reviews that you'll see. The petition is supported in 2014. On October 18th, 2017, the Clark County Councilors added this to our work program, held the open house. Today is the work session, and then on July 19th is the Planning Commission hearing. The Clark County Councilors hearing has yet to be scheduled, but will be anticipated for the fall of 2018. So with that, I'm open to any questions that you have.
If the rural petition was to pass, as I theoretically, would that not change the tax assessment of the area?
Can you say that again?
The tax assessment would change if the proposal was to pass, because the properties would be then assessed at a higher use value.
So theoretically, that comes from the assessor's office as far as how they assess the records. But if they are given smaller, I don't want to speculate as far as how the assessor would value the properties.
They're always valued the most but practical and use, highest use value. So
if the
commercial zone, for example, if it was to become commercial, that would have a far higher value.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or those that have lot sizes that would be able to be further divided.
Matt, can you go back to a map that shows us what the petition is now?
Yeah. So this was the initial petition that was submitted in 2014.
And this is the one that you're saying you want to go forward with?
This is since we don't meet the threshold for processing the expanded boundary,
yeah.
This is as far as we can proceed. This is the application that we can proceed with.
And with the airport land removed from the initial petition, yes. Are you still at a 60% threshold for this?
Right, yeah. Thanks for asking that question. So the proposal, the initial petition of the 22 landowners, 15 signatures still exist, which equals 68%. So we meet that 60% threshold, even with the airport owners withdrawing their signature.
Matt, you said that in that area, the average lot size is a little larger than 5 acres.
Yes.
Yeah. And then with the little center was approved, it would be 2.5 acres for the majority of the parcels.
In some areas, so for this map, with this proposal moving forward, only with the initial petition, these 1 acre minimums would be removed. And those uses that are currently residential in nature would be proposed zoning, rural center 2.5 acres. The existing uses of commercial zoned as rural center commercial, and then the airport and heavy industrial remaining.
Is there any arterial atlas activity on this stretch of the 503 that's going to be impacting?
So one of the issues that came up during the open house was the intersection of SR 500 and 182nd. Mm-hmm. And as you may remember, back in 2012 or 14, when the urban holding was lifted from the Fifth Plain Creek area, done as a development agreement. And part of that development agreement was to add this intersection, 182nd and SR 500, onto our 20-year capital facilities plan. That was completed. So this intersection here is currently being evaluated by Public Works for a remedy that can fix some of the safety issues from the intersection.
My memory was it was like signalization. I think it isn't that.
Yeah.
We had trouble with the alignment, but I think it was signalization.
Signalization is one thing. There's many different scenarios that Public Works is exploring in consultation with WashDOT, since it is on SR 500.
Right, and the bridge is right there.
Right. Signalization is one thing. They've also talked about around them.
My understanding, Ron, is that WASDOT wants to move the intersection about 3/4 mile west where it currently is, straightening out the S-curves, and then either roundabout or signalization to be the route. The current intersection does not meet criteria for site distance at all. Also, Matt, when they build out Fifth Creek Plain Development and Velvet Acres, that's going to generate what, about 1,200 trips a day to that intersection?
I don't know the specific.
That's about what it's going to do.
is everything basically accessed on this sort of 500?
With the initial petition, yes. Besides, there's residential homes here, or one residential home, and they access 188.
So no change to the airport zoning, no change to heavy industrial. And did you expand the commercial, or are you just rolling in what is commercial now?
Correct.
Okay. So the impact is really to take the residential parcels and allow them to be able to reduce down to the 2.5 zoning.
Correct, yeah. In several of these residences that exist here have commercial operations that are home occupation permits which they are working under.
Does everybody recognize what the impact would be if they subdivided and continued with their home occupation permit?
Yeah, so we shared that during the open house as far as the impacts of potential loss.
Okay.
Is there a staff report available?
No, so the staff report I gave the property owners for this expanded area until yesterday to respond to me. So this is, sorry, these numbers here are, I haven't received any comments today. The deadline was yesterday. So following this, I will draft the staff report and put it on our website and provide it in advance for the public hearing too.
Since we don't have a hard copy, would it be possible for you to email us a copy?
Absolutely. Yeah, as soon as it gets finalized, we'll both post it on the web as well as email it to you.
Did everybody from the commission see the stuff that's come through so far, including the neighborhood association report?
Yeah, right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty valid concerns.
Any more questions?
No.
I will see you on July 19th.
All right. All right. We got enough time before the hearing. We can go out for a brisk walk.
Lost out in the same.